Thank you so much. Come and take a look.
As Moshe aptly pointed out before, this is really the end of yesterday's shiur, but yesterday's shiur got sort of locked off. We're aiming to have like 45 minutes, and then we kind of got locked down to 20 minutes. So we left off already yesterday with a new understanding of Gedat Ar Gemar Dav Gimel Al. Not just that we assume that the Shtar is Einu Mezuyah because we rely on the Rove, as Rashi said, and the Chasam Sofer understood, it's such a strong Rove, L'chotzif Inish Duhupe, it's such a strong Rove that you can rely on that even L'hotzi Min HaMuktzak. It's a super strong Rove. That was one approach. Just like Rabbi Akiva Eiger said about other robes, that sometimes you have such a super strong robe, such a numerically powerful robe, you can mostly be muktzak. That was one approach to why it is a Min HaTorah, again, our Gemara, a Min HaTorah, you don't assume you're not concerned with Zir. So yesterday we began to develop another approach, and now we're going to take a look at the Ritzvah, another approach that explains the connection to Reish Lakish, and how this is part of the Xeris HaKasav of Shtar. Let's take a look at the Ritzvah, three Ritzvahs together. We'll see how we'll go out of the Ritzvah. Maybe we'll have a couple of moments to look at the Spirit Doctor as well. And then we'll close it up with a Shachanet Tzot that you should know. B'din Hu, to take a look inside of the Ritzvah. And as you see on the top, it says, Kedusha Bein HaKrestin. Kedusha Bein HaKrestin. It's not because you open up a Ritzvah, the salmon colored Ritzvah, the Masarikos Ritzvah, I'm getting to have two volumes, Aleph and Beis. Because there's so much, I've had to make two volumes. Why there's so much? There's two different Svarim that they stuck into one. There's a big machloikis. Which is the Ritzvah? There's two different Svarim on Gittin. We're not sure which one is the Ritzvah. There's one that was always thought to be the Ritzvah. In the old printings of a Ritzvah, there's a certain paper, which the one who put out the Ritzvah on Gittin for Masarikos, he was convinced that's not the Ritzvah. This, what used to be the Miyuchas Ritzvah, what used to be assumed to be the Ritzvah, he thinks in fact is Rabbeinu Krestin. A different fine reputable Rishon. So that's why they printed that with the title on top, Chiddush Rabbeinu Krestin. This fellow also dug, the fellow who's put out the Ritzvah for Masada Rav Kook, dug up a different manuscript, and he thinks that manuscript might be the Ritzvah. So it, if you open up I think two different people put them out. When you open up the should have brought one along. When you open up the orange color, the salmon color, the salmon color, Ritzvah, it's two Svarim. Neither one's called Ritzvah. One is called Chiddush Rabbeinu Krestin, used to be called Ritzvah. The other one is called Chiddushim Miktav Yad. Chiddushim from the manuscript.
I think in the introduction they say that they think it's around
which one?
The first
Chiddushim Miktav Yad.
Yeah,
so that's the whole machlokes. That each one who writes the mother writes his own sheet of what it is. So whatever it is, you can call him what you like. Call him Ritzvah, call him Enochrestin. Some, as the Rosenblatt once said to us, right over there actually, some of reputable Rishon wrote this text. He may be the Ritzvah, he may not be, but for convenience, we'll call him Ritzvah or Enochrestin. Take a look inside. Vidinu, the key Rishon, follow his boy, he's coming at Ar Gemara. We've been flying all over Shah. We've been flying all over Nashim Zikin trying to get the answer. Try to understand it on our own, what the answer could be. Now let's take a look at the Ritzvah right here. The Yikashim, my Raya, my Sinai, the Rish Lakish. The question, you're going to ask the question, what Raya is he bringing from Rish Lakish? Where Rish Lakish says, the whole idea of not commission after the Vazin, that's the Indian Shain Yachol and Lomar Shud Matir Manu. That they can no longer back out. They can say, no, we change our mind. That's what the Gemara in Sukkot said. And the status of Eidus Hakura, as the status of Eidus Hakura, and therefore, since the rain even the travel of the basin, so you say, any of he can't be a chosen or magic. You make only Shah Makuyim. Shah Shah Inu Makuyim. If I know it's right, so then it's sort of like Shah Shah Inu Makuyim. It goes up, okay, Shah Makuyim, 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 this one fellow wrote in his basement last night. There are no agents. Bahami Nalan, where is that from? That's Mamash Arkasha. Now pay attention. He didn't ask why is it true. He asked, how do you see it? That's going to come up later. His question is, how do you see this from Rish Lakish? Now, the other way it's true, but why is going to Rish Lakish as a source that we don't assume Ziyuk the minatori, you don't need kimashtam. Your shakish is telling you, if it's aces, it's strong aces. Because Gamli says, for the ifa of Yerushalmi, he says, look at the Yerushalmi, I'm reading Hatzam. Now, aces shay, idu bein latame, bein latare, bein lachet, bein latare. The aces didn't come positively or negatively. You say something, tame, to push away someone, he's not allowed to marry him, or they go, tame, he is allowed to marry him. The Easter and the Hesser, something that's the Mutu was cooked with Hova, you are going to pay, not going to pay, you are Chayim and Onesh, not Chayim and Onesh, in Lashon, that's the way to do the Bezin, because the Rambat died on Yinu and their mother. If before they came to Bezin and made their statement, before they were interviewed, they back off, before they were Nefkara, they said, Bad died on Yinu, we were lawyers, and their mother, they still believe. In Mishin Nefkara, I do the Rambat, I do the if they, after they're already in the Abu Vaden, if they already underwent the Sakira, the interview, then the cross, then they said, oh, no, we realize you made a mistake, then they're no longer believed, and that's the din, that's what the Gemara calls, and the Babli calls, Kim Shaykh and Shuna Chazarad. So the Talmud Yerushalmi has a result. Where is the Talmud Yerushalmi, by the way? There it is, they tell you. 193. It's two. Okay, good. Secondary two. Amr Ish Lakish, the name of Amr Ish Lakish, Ein Machzul HaShtar, Nasa Kamishi Nechrei, just in the Bezim. Lomar Makirin. Nikezan Shachasimu Ein Nechal Lomar Makirin. This is the original Ish Lakish. This is so exciting, because we kept saying we never found the original Ish Lakish. The Gemara quotes, Rava says, oh, like the Ish Lakish said, where's the Amr Ish Lakish? We asked the Dalit. Where's the original source of Ish Lakish? Not surprisingly, it's in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Because after all, where did Rosh Lakish live? Yeah. Talmud Yerushalmi is a little bit of a misnomer. It didn't have so much to do with the Yerushalayim. But I think at that point in Jewish history, the Torah of Kalash moved up to the Galilee. Right, moved up to the Galileo. That's if you know the Gemara Sanhedrin. I talked about... Right. But Talmud Yerushalmi, I'm not sure why it's called Talmud Yerushalmi, actually. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about Esther Galus Shagalta Sanhedrin, the 10 stages of Galus that the Sanhedrin HaGadol went through. It started in Yerushalayim in the Harabais, then they moved down, then they start moving to Yavne, the next step, right? From Yerushalayim to Yavne, that's Yerushalayim Mezachet, and then after that they start flowing around the Galil, Shepharam, Usha, Tiberia, all those cities, Hori, all those cities in the north, the Galil, the northern end. Up north in Eretz Yisrael, that's where they live. Like the Gemara, the Babli will sometimes say, talk about the Talmidim, they were Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael as Chavereinu Sheve Galil, our friends in the Galil. Some of them be Chavereinu Sheve Eretz Yisrael, some of them be Chavereinu Sheve Galil. That's really where they were. And we'll talk about the fact that they were still eating, they were still using Paraduma water and making themselves tahar to eat truma. The Gemara says, in the Galil, they still are Mitarim. So that's where the Rish Lakish lived, the Shavish Rishon, where the first generation will run in Eretz Yisrael. So here you have it, Yerushalmi has the original source. Yerushalmi is saying over the din of Kirin Shenigit, Shuvah Nechon Zavavi, in Yerushalmi language, the same din. Now, Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said, that's true by a physical Aedis and Basin, that depends whether you had underwent Kachira or not. Then we revealed that Amr Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish added, that once you sign the shtar, that's keili right in this kabo, no longer can back out. So why is he calling that? Just to stress that the Gemara in Sugi Tichas about the Kim and Shnegi really represents the original context of Rish Lakish. Rav was quoting what Rish Lakish said about this Erev Halacha. Rish Lakish really was commenting about what we've been calling Talmud too, about the additional status, the honorary status, kiyus in the Talmud Basin. But what does it have to do with Talmud 1? That's really his question. So he says, Yesh L'Tarit, I know some guys were very bothered by these two Teirutim. Let's take a look at the Jerusalem. What's the difference between the two Teirutim? What's the asking? What's the answer? Let's take a look together. The Yesh L'Tarit Maloma. You could answer a possible Teirut number 1. The Etcher, the Kimu Hu Bahi. Maybe the rabbis of the Talmud knew they had a tradition, the Rish Lakish, well, actually there's nothing that had a tradition. Maybe they understood by reading the Rish Lakish, the Rish Lakish is even talk when he, You're right. He's not really talking about assuming that it's valid. He's talking about this special status, field necessarily. But maybe when we understand Rinei Shlokish that his comment about the superpower of a star is both Bashtar Makurim and a star Shein Makurim. Why? Well, why do you get that question? The stomach karma. Because he didn't make any, he didn't specify. He didn't say, Eidim Achasum Ashtar Makoyim. He didn't say, Eidim Achasum Allah. Shtar. It sounds like he's talking about any type of Eidim Achasum Ashtar. The ultimate favor is Ashtar Makoyim. So, example of us. Kishayin Makoyim. Nechra Eidutim in HaTorah. If it's not Makoyim, so it's not the sense of Nechra in HaTorah. But Midra Abadon, only if it's Makoyim. That's kind of what I'm saying. You see, Rish Lakish, the Rish Lakish seems to be commenting on both Shtar Makrim and Makrim. He's obviously assuming that they're both kosher. You can give them superpowers, assuming they're both kosher. And then the Rish Lakish says, I don't like that territory. Eino, Makhover. Why, he doesn't tell us why. So if you read to the end, when he comments on his editorial comments on the second answer, you may get the impression what some of the issues are. I think there are at least three kashas in the first answer. We throw this first answer ourselves when we were talking through the sugya at the beginning last week. He said, "Well, we're talking about star, but he didn't say star. But he sounds like he's talking about star shouldn't be well. So he just obviously he's assuming that's kosher. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Number one, the diuk is a shvacha diuk. Why is it a shvacha diuk? I'll tell you why. Did he say that he's always talking about a star that's written on with permanent ink on permanent paper? Did he say he's always talking about a star that has signature? Well, he didn't say signature." He always says, there's all the different rules of star. He didn't mention any rules of star. He's assuming that you know, he's not teaching all the rules of star now. He's saying, whatever constitutes a valid star, the agent of that valid star, kill that sort of evidence. He's not trying to teach you the rules of what's a valid star. That's a different discussion. That's from Bata, not Susan. So, it's circular almost. That's really the first caution it says. If you assume that Shtar Shein Makuyim can be called a star, so then when Rishlakish said star, he meant Shtar Shein Makuyim. If you assume that star only means Shtar Makuyim, then that's all Rishlakish is talking about. It's time you're assuming your conclusion. That's the first time Rishlakish. With the first answer with Rishlakish. It's a very weak fear. Because who says Rishlakish is trying to tell you the rules of what a kosher star? That's problem number one. Problem number two with the first sentence. If all your guidance, we spoke about earlier. It is part of what the Ritzman doesn't like. If all you're deriving from Rish Lakish is, well, he made a statement about Shtaros working, and he didn't specify, well, there are Mishnayos that make statements about Shtaros working. A much better source from Rish Lakish than Amora. If all you want to have is, well, I have a source that Shtar works. I have a lot of sources that Shtar works. Well, why are we bothering Rish Lakish? Number three, I don't know if this is Akasha, but at least a gap, is that this first Shtaros hasn't explained, we still are totally in the dark as to why it is that you don't require Kiyam and HaTorah. We can say, well, you see that Rish Lakish is obviously assuming it. He's comfortable discussing Shtar Shein Mekuyim. He's obviously assuming that Shtar Shein Mekuyim is totally fine and HaTorah, no need for Kiyam and HaTorah. But he doesn't really explain it. He's just saying, I have a proof, but I don't know why. That's the third, not Kasha, but it certainly says Kisar. And all these three will be addressed in the second test. He says, so forget about that first test. I don't like it. Amen, Machom. I now come to Moshe Dir Rabbeinu. What I prefer is what my Rebbe said. Now, the question is, who is Rabbeinu? The historical curiosity. Who is he quoting? If it was the Ritzva, so usually when he's Tam Rabbeinu, Ritzva was a Talmud of two major Rishonim. And it's Kedai that you should know this. It's important to understand where people fit in. The Ritzva was the Talmud of two people, the two primary Talmudim of the Ramban. Ramban was, someone said yesterday, the Ritzva's spiritual and intellectual grandfather. Because Ramban's two major Talmudim, or two of his primary Talmudim, was the Rashba. And who always argued the Rashba? Who was the Rashba's peer? And Ra'ah, very good. Ra'ah Halevi. Ra'ah Halevi, by the way, is Aruvena Brumia. He's a grandson, not spiritual, but I mean, say that too, but real, biological, grandson of a different Halevi. Do you know? Rabbeinu Zrachi HaLevi. Who is Rabbeinu Zrachi HaLevi? Look, Rabbeinu Zrachi HaLevi. You know that? The Balamar. Right. So Rabbeinu Zrachi HaLevi was really the, there had been, I think the family of Ben Venisti. They were, Rabbeinu Zrachi Ben Venisti. So he was Rabbeinu Aaron HaLevi Ben Venisti. So anyhow, there were all the Rabs were the two primary Talmidim of the Ramban. He also had a son, Rabbeinu Nachman, who was the Talmud of it, and he had Rabbeinu David, who was Sakham, told the TBC guys, using the Kedusha Rabbeinu David all the time, also Talmud Ramban. The two main Talmidim of the Ramban are the Rashba and the Ra'ah, and they were both Rabbeinu the Ritva. More the Ra'ah. So when the Ritva, the son says, my Rebbe, he usually means Ra'ah. When he calls the Rashba, he usually say, Mori HaRashba. That means it is his Rebbe, Mori means my Rebbe. Not Stam, Eitam, Ramban. But Stam Mori, this is my Rebbe is the Ra'ah. The Rashba is also his Rebbe, so say, my Rebbe is the Rashba. My Rebbe is the Rashba, or my Rebbe. So which Rebbe is he calling here? Depends who he's talking. If it's the Ritva, then my Rebbe, the Rabbeinu, probably means Ra'ah. If not the Ritva, then all bets are off. I don't think we have a Ritva on Gittin, though. If we had a Ritva on Gittin, it would be very enticing. Take a look, you'll probably find this. If you're Ra'ah, that's a Ritva?
Yeah.
We don't have, we do have, we perhaps have Ritva again. We never don't have, as far as I know, we don't have Ra'ah again. If we had Ra'ah again, we would want to look it up. But we don't. So we'll have to just go with the, what the Ritva, what this Rishon, the Ritva of Benekhester, is saying over. The second Teretz of Otay. So we had one Teretz, doesn't like it. In the Mechuvah, we explain, I don't know, three different possible problems. Ella, I would rather go not with this suggestion, but with Teretz number two, what my Rebbe, perhaps the Ra'ah, what my Rebbe said. Yes.
What was the third question?
The third question is that in this fourth interpretation, the first Teretz he's putting forth, it's not so much a kasha, but just the Gemara is not addressing why it's true. It's still a mystery as to why the Adon Yikim Hashem HaTav. All the Gemara is saying, according to the first Teretz, is, well, you see, Reish Lakish assumes this fact, this halacha, they said minatoriy yonikim. Why? That remains a mystery. That's not a kasha. Okay, it could be the Gemara would do that. The Gemara's not machleis always explaining why, but it could be going to try to show a source for the din. But it is a little bit we feel somewhat less satisfied with that first approach. The hanachon, the first two things were problems. The diak is a shvera diak, and if you want to just bring that type of source just for the fact, not to explain, you should just bring a mishnah. And the Ritva at the end is going to actually point out there is a good Mishnah you could have quoted, according to the first text. The Hanachon, Shoshnir Tabenu. I think the correct answer is that the first answer is incorrect. The correct answer is, wait, this is wrong. What's the correct answer? The second text, my Rebbe said. V'da'am Reish Lakish Lassum Ashtar, Na'at Zekim Yishin Nechrei Dutu Beidin. Since Reish Lakish said, here we get back into that Diyak that some of the fellows have made, that from the fact that Reish Lakish, kids of Reish Lakish, from the fact that Reish Lakish was willing to say this, Alma, that what? That he was in Talmud too. He was Takura of Amazement. Alma, the Alima, Milka, the Shtar. You see, the Shtar is a special power. It's Olin. Olin is strong. It's called the Alma Gvar. One of the six ways of resolving a suffix of Dina Mamanus, one of the less popular, less common, but certainly more exciting among many, is called the Alma Gvar. Remember, Balvasta says, you have a boat, not sure who owns the boat, docked in the harbor, no one's a Muslim, just there, it belongs to one of these two guys, we're not sure who, so, go at it. Well, that's what it sounds like. The Tosus is not sure. Does it really mean to fight it out, whoever gets it? Maybe, it could be it means that there's no way for us to resolve it, so, whatever happens, happens. I mean, they're not allowed to punch each other, but whoever gets the boat, we have no way of knowing one way or the other. Or Tosus says, maybe called Amgvar, they're more like, if they say, well, the Higgins more likely, it's called Amgvar is more powerful in Raya. Whoever can make a better case. No one's going to have Aiden, no one's going to have a real case. Whoever has a slightly better case is going to win. But either way, it's a good way to remember, Olin, called the Olin. Olin means power. Whoever's stronger. So I'll leave him up to the Shtar. The idea of Shtar has great strength. It's Olin. In modern Hebrew, Alimut means? Violence.
Why?
Alimut in modern Hebrew. Yeah. Is the violence, right? That's correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Alimut. That's its word. Alimut is the star. Star is Olam. Not the star is violence. The star is powerful.
Very
the Rav had the Prime had this nusach of the talking star. The star talks. I don't think the Ritva is saying the Shtar punches. He's not saying the Alam in that sense. But Aliyah Milta the Shtara, that was the Lakula Mechash Mechtam Shikra the Shtara. I don't have to worry about Sayin Sheker. He's not just talking about whether the signatures are real. Right now I think what he means is the content. I'm not concerned with the possibility that they signed, that the Eidim signed on a false document. I don't need, in other words, I lift the requirement for a Hakir and a Beis. If I'm going to lift the requirement for a Hakir, I'm going to give them a free pass. I will assume whatever they're saying is true. That's interesting. And that's why in the because I have to lift, this is what we were saying yesterday, because I have to lift the need for Drisha of Hakira, because we're going to lift the need for Drisha of Hakira, what does that mean? It means that the star is sort of Aliyah, the star is more powerful. What means it's more powerful? It means that it's part of the Mechadish, it's part of the Chiddush in the star, that we give it an honorary, in the Shoshanevka. Once that's true, he says, behind the name of Moshe Hakira. And therefore, a consequence of column 2, a consequence of the advanced status of the Shtar, which is necessary to get rid of the Drisha Chakirah, is that the Mela, as with all the Nafkaninas in being attached to Drisha Chakirah, including the Yom to say that you can't back out. And as we said yesterday, Tosus add another Nafkamina. That since it's a Rei Kiyo Drisha Venechka, therefore I can be made based on what I saw in the Shtar. Because it's like being made on the 8th, it says right in the Tower of the Zayden. Then tells us that then Ritva continued. So once you know Aliyah Mitzvah Deshtara, so Napkamina Nami or Napik Mina Nami, so what emerges from that logic is also another point. So Lobi and Kiyam Midaraisa, Umahanya Taimad Aliyah Mitzvah Deshtara. So this Alimu Tashtar, this special power that the Torah is being Machadesh, also plays itself out not only in terms of the status of the Shtar. The status of the Shtar is one manifestation, one branch that's growing out of the root of the Alimut HaShtar, the part that the Eshakas of the Shtar implies has special power and special leverage. So what would that play itself out, that underlying logic play itself out, is that, what's it called, is that it has advanced status with all the non-community in that. But another way it plays itself out is an assumption. We assume that the signatures are real. Kal adam nizav, kal adam nizav shelo lasos sheker b'shtar. That we're going to assume. He can't just be saying now a regular rove. You know, it sounds a little bit like that. But if you say regular rove, that doesn't say what everything's going to say about limus hashtar. The footnote on the bottom in 201, they try to make it sound like all this stuff going back to the rove. But that I would think it's easier without the 201. What? No. But we're not just, but it's not zichos. It's not that it's olim because there's a rove. No, because then that doesn't do what Lima said. That has nothing to do at all. That ruins, that's not all the direction that he's going in. What he's saying is, there's an underlying Lima Tashtar, an underlying power of Tashtar, which we tried to develop yesterday, what that Lima Tashtar is. That if the Shtar works at all, it obviously implies it's going to have whatever it needs. If I tell you, you know, that I could fly my Cessna, my little 6-seater plane, from here to Los Angeles without stopping, that implies I have a Cessna. It implies my Cessna works. It implies my Cessna has such good mileage and such a large gas tank that I could go from here to there without refueling. Because right? If I said I can do it, that implies that my tool has whatever it needs to be able to do the job. If I say the Shtar works, it means that it is. It means that the tool, the Shtar, has whatever qualities it needs to get the job done. So the fact that it's the Metzius of Rove, that's not our Limut HaShtar from Yeres HaKadosh, but the fact that we're willing to rely on that Rove would be a Limut HaShtar.
What? Just because
the
Shtar has power means that we believe that people
who
sign the Shtar are trustworthy?
What? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Think about the Rashbam.
The same sentence.
Saying,
yeah, true. But you don't have it, then
you
don't have it.
Right. But I have a pasuk that tells me. In Devarim and Yirmiyahu, the Shtar works.
What kind of Shtar? Yeah, how do we know it's not Makuyim? Because that's a good question. You did you ask that yesterday?
No.
Someone asked that yesterday. You don't say yesterday. That's a good question. Going back to the custom, how what do you see it? I would think the answer is that when the Navi Yirmiya gives you his description of what he's doing, he does stress that he's going to put it away in a clay jar. He does not say anything about needing a basin. There's no reference there to a basin. So it sounds like all you need to do, just like an assumption is you don't need any material, all you need is a shtar, that alone will prove it later. It sounds like all you need is Eidim, you don't need anything beyond your Eidim.
Yeah, but...
Because remember, he's not talking about when you...
Because most people don't think, when you come with a shtar, most people don't reject. Don't say, oh no, I don't believe him, they go to me. Most people say, fine, I'll pay you, you have a shtar.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you saying, most people are pushovers? I don't know if that's too low.
No, in general, if I have a true star, then I really bought something, a land, and I have documents, a deed, to a house. Why are we going to bother and take you to court, waste all my time?
It's a good kasha. So let me rephrase the kasha. I think Pinchas is saying, it's like this. How do you see a raya from Yirmiyahu, from the Pasha of Hanama, which star works at all? Maybe it's just like Eitz HaTov Kamashon. Avad, if you pull out the Shtar and Bezin, maybe it would never stand up in a court of law. It's just that he's telling him, yo, look, if you have a Shtar, chances are, just as a practical thing, chances are you're not even making it to court. If you have a Shtar, then the guy would just say, fine, you keep it. But he wasn't saying you'll have a Shtar and that will actually be a legal document, a legal instrument, legal proof. Just if you have a Shtar, you'll be able to get away with it. So you're saying, so you're asking a fundamental question. You said, forget about this detail of how you know Kiyum, no Kiyum. Let's just get down to basics. Who said Shtar works at all? If you think that Kisei say that the Parsha of Get is not enough for Shtar Raya, you need to come on to Yirmiyahu, so then how do you know that Yirmiyahu is talking about a legally acceptable Shtar? Maybe it just means, practically, it will work. You'll show a star, the guy will back, 9 times out of 10, the guy will back off. Maybe? Okay, I'm not sure. That's a good question. How did Chazal know, when they quote the Gemara does quote the Pesukim, right? Quote the Pesukim. So you ask, that's a good, very good question, the question of the Gemara. How did the Gemara know that Yirmiyahu is talking about a halachically valid document? Maybe he's just saying it's a good idea. To invest in mob protection, that's not so that's expensive and not moral. You have a star. It won't really do anything. If the guy calls your bluff, the jig is up. But he probably won't call your bluff. That's good protection. So offensive move. Yeah, okay. Could be. The Gemara clearly doesn't assume that way. How do they know? I'm not sure. But once I know, 1 second. But,
therefore,
the rov is established that most stars are not that most people sign well. Therefore, they'll leave a star. That's all part of it. No, don't get me wrong. I agree with you that this is a sticky one. When I was learning the first time, I also thought it's a sticky line. But I said, 1 second, it doesn't fit at all with the direction that he's going in. Because it's clear from before and from after, the whole direction is going as well. There's an alimus hashtar, there's relevant here, relevant there, and that's the connection. The question is, well, alimus hashtar, if it's just a question of the social reality happens to be that in this day and age, most people are not mechutzaf enough to be mezayif. You just say it's just a sociological, psychological reality. That's not alimus hashtar. Right, there's no connection to the din. Reish Lakish is clearly a din. Right? Reish Lakish is not just a messias. Uh-huh. Reish Lakish, the core Reish Lakish, the fact that Kilo Nishim after the Basin, that's clearly a din. And that's a halach. So.
Sorry?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, rove people ride on wagons?
Rove people drive cars.
Rove Nashim Basulos Nisos. The Gemara has those ones too, but it comes first time.
That
most women who get married, most married women were Basulos when they got married.
You can make
I don't think that's true anymore. I don't know if that's true necessarily anymore.
Yeah.
There's so many remarriages. Forget about people who are engaged in premarital relations. There's so many remarriages. Anytime a woman has a second marriage, by definition, she wasn't mistress as a psula, right? So it could be, hopefully we're not at that point, but if we reach the point where the norm is to be married 3-4 times, so then it will no longer be true that Rav Nachman Psula's mistress. So the Rav had an approach that he thought a couple of Ravs in the Gemara were based on Chumash. That's just based on a sociological observation, that's based on empirical data, but based on Chumash. So let's say about Tavu Mesa Tendu. But certainly the vast majority of robes are just Chazal looked around and tried to assess. What? I'm sorry? Chabad
Still.
Huh?
Chabad
Still.
Chazaka.
Still. Chazaka, same thing. The Chazaka. The Chazaka, which is a robe.
Yeah,
so that they have to figure out. It says Chazaka Achav Hashem Motzi Tachit Adav Hashem Mesukin. The assumption is that a observant person will not leave non-kosher food around. I guess we would say that's kind of self-definitional, because if you're comfortable leaving non-kosher food around, it's hard to imagine that most observant people would have non-kosher food floating around that. Unless you tell me that it will reach a point when so many observant people have non-Jewish maids in the house, that all observant people have non-kosher food around. Maybe, okay, so then that would change. It's a mitzvah. Rove is a mitzvah. Right? Sometimes you have a rove, which is a particular case. I have five salamis here, three which are kosher. That's malish, just this particular instance. That's the rubah de isa kamar. Right here, this case, I have five salamis and three are kosher, two are not. I have 10 bottles of soda, ripped all the labels off. I know seven were kosher and three are not. I don't know which is which. Oh, I have a bezin. Bezin heard a case. Now two dayanim said he has to pay. One said he doesn't have to pay. Right? So that's a rove in this particular situation. This is a rubah de isa kamar. I have a rove, the gemara says. I have a rove about a general statement about society, a general statistical statement. Most people do this. Most people do that. Most people don't pay their debt ahead of time. It could be, you can imagine some utopian society where people will be different, where everyone's going to return their lottery books before they're due. It's possible. It's unlikely. But if it would happen, it would happen. Right?
Both people.
Right.
So then, like, what happens to that? Plus, real people.
If that were the case, then you have to learn Bava Metzia very carefully and figure out which dinim are really telling in the robe and which are telling in the takasa. Then you would have to, with great seriousness and with a great sense of the gravity in your shemaim, it's got to rethink things. Yeah, shachar. So one second, let's get back here. Let's get back here on both sides. Oh, let's get back here. Let's get back here. So how we got off on a little tangent here, important tangent. So let's get back here. The Ritva is saying that what? Ritva is saying that there's a third alimus ashtar, a third inner strength, inner core of the star, which is what powers its ability to be kiyus nidus in Efka, and also what gives rise to the assumption that that the signatures are real. And then he mentions, and there's a robe. So presumably, when he mentioned the robe, he's doing what we were talking about yesterday, which is that the common denominator of all these things is the first question. Why do you know the chiddush is true? Because the very existence of shtar presupposes this chidushim. But then, you have to figure out for each of those, what does it mean? What does it mean that we give advanced status? Is it, oh, because it's Daf Mechayeh, because it's Eidus Meshas Maisa. So the Torah being Mechadesh, here I know it's more than a chidush. If I have Daf Mechayeh, Eidus Meshas Maisa, if I have Eidus Meshas Maisa, that is automatically the Ki'ilu is Meshkalavay. Okay. And what's the chidush over here? So, again, the same Alimut HaShah, the very fact that Shah works, it's strength, the fact it's potency, the fact that it works, indicates that Middle Eastern Torah, and the fact that from Yirmiyahu you see that it works without any kiyum, indicates that we do believe that those signatures are valid. How does that make sense? What the Torah is revealing? It could be that what's the nature of the Yerush HaKasim, here the Torah is being Mechad, by telling me that I rely on the signatures without a kiyum in our Torah, that's indicating that what? That I'm willing to rely on this row. I understand. Right, because Minas Torah, as the Chassam Torah himself pointed out,
If it's, unless it's a super strong robe, I mean, you really shouldn't be allowed to have mosi mama based on a robe. How could that be? But here the Torah is indicating that the tables are turned. Perhaps like Rashbam said, that we flip the Hamotin at the Rav Arayah. We have now a rule that whoever has a star, he has an assumption of validity. It's not the Rav Arayah, but in reverse. So the fact that you have just a robe, or maybe in some cases even a reasonable mias, will be enough to allow you to maintain your status of a valid star. Therefore, you don't speak as a zeus. I agree. It's a difficult mitzvah. I'm not saying this is a smooth. I think, if you have a better way to read it, I'm still interested in hearing. But I think that just that he's just going back to Rashi's saying it's a row, how does it work? Well, now, what you could say is this what Rashi means also? You could. Well, Lachanan thinks so. Hatzotover didn't think so. Lachanan thinks he doesn't know Kotz's mitzvah. But they say, well, the idea, much more explicitly written. And Rebbe Chaim tried to pick Rashi's word. Rashi is saying that based on Reish Lakish, you have the right to rely on such a robe. But then there's a lot missing from Rashi. To say in Rashi, there's an awful lot missing. But in the Ritzvah, he does set you up for it. Again, would I have been happier if he had written it more smoothly? Yeah. But given the Ritzvah, what do I think is the most likely interpretation of Ritzvah? I think, definitely open to other possibilities, okay. But I think this is given if you read the whole Ritzvah in context, I think this is the best way to go. Especially if you're also in the Rashbam, who is also talking about these rogue cases, right? He's talking about parallel cases. If you think about the Rashbam, look at the Ritzvah, I think that's probably, and you ignore their R201, then, which they're just saying, Midaitam, they're suggesting their own, you should change it to a dollar. If you don't, they have no evidence. They don't say a big sabiyah that says like that. So I would think this is the best way to go. And then let's finish it off. And then, because now he explains, why is my terror so great? Why is my Rebbe terror so great? Why is it so great? Now he gets into it. Ubedinhu, here on the top of Amud Chabal, Ubedinhu, the Yavel Asuyim Asit Niksubis. Really, in truth, we could have, instead of Kurish Lakish, we could have quoted the Mishnah. Which to show that Shtar works in Eton Akim. Which Mishnah? A great Mishnah! It really tells us the thing very clearly. It could have Mishnah itself. Because Mishnah itself was capable. There's a flaw, a principle. This non, Ne'mon Adam Loma Zek Tabiyah Shal Abba. That's the Mishnah we began with. Mishnah Chabchet Samal in Subit. That one of the things that you can talk about now to remember what you saw when you were 11 years old is Kima Shtar. And the Gemara says, if that's true, it must be the whole thing about Jabban, and this time we should be Kim Shah Jabban, as we saw. Right? So the Ritzvah is saying, really, if you just want, we could call it that, that's a Mishnah. Why call it Rishmakish? Call it a Mishnah. It's a better story. But why can't we call it Rishmakish? Clearly, you get the impression that's probably why he was bothered by the first. This is the problem that I was mowing. If you get the impression that's part of the ancient Kuba against the first set. Ella, the talk of why we call it Rishmakish. We're telling you the top. Meaning, we prefer to bring what the Gemara chooses Reish Lakish as a source instead of the Mishnah and Tubas, because the Reish Lakish doesn't tell you that it is true. Reish Lakish, for Reish Lakish, you see why it's true. He tells you the top. Which is probably, again, that indicates that the Ein Mechuber, what he didn't like about the first answer, you're not telling me why. You just told me what. And you're just telling me, and you could tell me a Mishnah, and also perhaps the Diyak itself is true. So let's put it like this. Even if you put the Ritzvah aside, based on the other sources we've seen, Sela Achronim suggests a shot in the Gemara. Rav Chaim has it in two places, and the Rav develops the idea based on the nuggets from Rav Chaim. If you want to see those Achronim, that puts those Maram Kovitz at the bottom of their bottom of the sheet, Eretz Tzvi, and Kovitz Yurim. Now, Rishat and Eretz Tzvi has four pieces that are not really his own, and he says in the first footnote, and those four pieces, is that this is really a kuntras of ideas of the Rav, presented with a couple of additional Maram Kovitz. He has four pieces, I think he wrote up the whole history, not enough time, the whole history behind why he wrote those four pieces, as trial pieces. But he put together many Shurim of the Rav, on the topic and into one unified whole. So one of them is the Kuntres on Shtaris, which is Simon Chav Gimel. So at the very beginning, he quotes the Rav's approach, which is based on Reb Chaim,
he's very dramatic, but the star talks, the star is made on its own kashas. I think what he's saying is the idea was developed, the fact that star works indicates certain chidushim about star. Oh, we've been saying quite a lot of time. So I will not, let's not read the Tiferes Yaakov and try it together, but if you take a look at this small piece, the Tiferes Yaakov here on Gittin, on our Gemara, his piece about Kiddush Reish Lakish, he's very terse, very dense. I think he may be driving at the same or a similar idea. But there's a common logic that drives Reish Lakish, and it also drives the fact that Kiyum Sharas is not required Min HaTorah. Let us just end with one final Nafkimina. I will have mentioned to me the other day that the Nafkimina, what do you care? After all the stuff settled. So we had a chance to get a tour of Shas, to see a number of fascinating Nashman Zikin figures, and to think about different understandings of why is that Min HaTorah Kiyum, why is it that Min HaTorah Kiyum is not necessary? But Lamai Nafkamina. Lamai says it's true. The Gemara says it's true. Kiyum is on Jabba. What do you say it's because of a robe? What do you say it's because of the there's a custom of star? No one, Lamai says you need Kiyum. Midrash Bani definitely Kiyum. Even if you don't, Lamai Nafkamina. So it will point out a fascinating Machal Shach and so. The Shach has a line, Simba and Bab, the Ma'am Kamas are here. If you take a look, if you didn't, then yes. Shach says, he makes a comment very nonchalantly that of course, the fact that Kiyum is only necessary in Rabbanon, that's by a star with Aiden. But if I have a star with Iksav Yado, means I wrote myself, I Moshe Wasserman, owe you $10,000, and you sign your name at the bottom. No. I write, I, Thompson Cohen, owe you, Moshe Wasserman, $10,000, and I sign your name at the bottom. You should have a piece of paper, right? Good thing doesn't exist. You had a piece of paper, but not that. So that's called a shtar miksav yado, where the document had himself write the hodos baldin. So the shach makes a comment, Simen Vav is the Simen of Chosh Rishabah, Rakim Ashtar. He says, well, of course, in that case, the need for Kim is Min HaTorah. This kind of assumes it almost. And we came across the shach at the very beginning of the year. And we're talking about the Dimut HaTimut. Right, that's part of the shock later, Simon Solomon picked up on this, that, oh, by Ksav Yadav, if it's not to aid in the need for Kima Daraisa, and therefore you can't rely on Dima Hakim. That fits into this general way of thinking. There does matter what the need for Kima Daraisa is Rabbanon. And the shock says, when we say the need for Kima Rabbanon, it's by a shout aid in. But a shock, Ksav Yadav, the handwriting of the man himself, there the need for Kima is Min HaTorah. And the Ksos on the bottom says, what? Who are you talking about? The shock doesn't explain. What are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense at all. The same way I don't have the chutzpah to forge a document with Aiden. I don't have the chutzpah to forge a document with your signature. Because one thing, not two signatures, that's very difficult. And it's even, in a sense, even more chutzpah. I'm going to come to you tomorrow in Aiden and pull a piece of paper that I say you wrote yourself. And in a sense, it's even more chutzpah. I say, Aiden, you forgot about it. You remember, and these are the Aiden. Remember, the Aiden aren't going to be watching. I'm going to present to you your own signature, and I forged it. That takes a lot of stuff. That's Mamash Aiden and May is the same about Hov in a big way. So, it's not exactly, but it's Aiden and May is to the other fellow in a big way. So the Ksos says, I don't know what the Shach is talking about. No, the need for Kim is always Rabbanon. So what's Hakim Shach in the Shach? Very well suggested that they're arguing over this point. That it could be. That is the Ksos, is this guy, Rashi man. There's a row. The beginning and end of the story is that's the whole thing. So then, oh, there's a robe, and of course it's ki'ilu nechrei dusan bevezin. But what's that mishach? The shah might be learning along the line of this alternative approach. If you say, no, it's not Stama Road, not just a mitzvah, it's a din. Right? That's really, if you like terminology, that's Stama Pug. Is it just a mitzvah or is it a din? If it's a din, then it could say, the Yirmiyo only was Mechadish about the, what's it called? Yirmiyo's only Mechadish about the Shtar with Aden. That's how God's Aden. But the fact that Shtar Mitzav Yado works, that's not the Zeres HaKavta. But there's no special Zeres HaKavta, Kilim Nishav and Nechkar, nothing. That's only why the Shach would say the need for Kiyum is absolutely Min HaTorah. I mean, absolutely, your time is perfect.
Kasher and Gemara Chometz. Now, we're going to go on to the next sugya. I should tell you that I was tempted that these Gemara Chometz are relatively short, at least compared to the last Gemara Chometz, which were rather lengthy. I was tempted to already stick in. We're going to look at a short piece of Gemara with a very nice, pleasant Ram. We have the opportunity, we're doing a lot of little bits and pieces of things, opportunity just to learn a long Gemara Ram, to savor that. After this is coming up a major sugya in the Sefer Kaddish and the Chasima Kar. I was a little tempted to raise 6,000 Maram Kamsu, and decided, why do that? So on Maram Kamsu, yeah, by now, everything is in your Gemara. The next piece of Gemara was a Rashi, earlier Rashi, famous Rashi, and a Ram here. A very, somewhat lengthy and very, very sweet, very delicious Ram. And then after the three stars, the next piece is Gemara. The couple of small Ha'alas. Then beyond that, we're going to move on to the Sugi of Eitha Pesim, which I've seen. So do right now, we're going to say as follows. We have half hour now for, close to half hour now for to begin Yom Seder. For those who traditionally start Yom Seder at Eitha, we'll do that right now. And those who are going to start right now, we'll do that at Eitha. We'll go until 12. And then we'll pick up with the Mincha upstairs at 12:50, and then we'll head down to the restaurant for the rest of the morning.